Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, August the 15th, 2019, and the time is 1:47. I now call this meeting of the Finance Commission to order pursuant to Chapter 551 of the Government Code. There is a quorum with all members present. If there's anyone wishing to address the commission during the time of public comment, please fill out a witness affidavit form and bring it to the front. Public comments on non-agenda items are limited to 5 minutes and agenda items to 10 minutes. I see we have one card from Mr. Skurlock.
Can we wait till the discussion of the efficiency audit, Mr.?
Yes, we can.
That would be outstanding.
We will do that. Correction to the attendees, Commissioner Borghoff is not here. Have we heard from him? Okay. We'll assume he's going to be here and he is enjoying the same traffic I just enjoyed. We're going to, at the request of Mr. Skurlock, we'll postpone the general comment and we'll go on to agenda items two. Discussion of and possible vote to recommend that the Finance Commission take action on the agency's management response to the efficiency audit regarding sunset recommendations 2.6. Direct the Finance Commission to minimize duplication of agency functions and promote more cost-efficient administration of the finance agencies. Commissioner, how do we
all proceed? If you like, Mr. Chairman, we can commissioner can make a brief discussion of the topic, and then it possibly could lead to questions by the members. And if okay, I'll start out. For background, just to make sure that we're all on the same page, the staff report, our sunset report, included a non-statutory management action. In other words, it wasn't directed, it's not something that has to be done through the legislature. Directed the Finance Commission to identify duplicative agency functions by July 1, 2019, and to report its findings and plans for consolidation by July 1, 2020. The Finance Commission is to evaluate not just cost efficiencies, but also changes that will make it easier for the public to interact with Finance Commission agencies. The findings and plans and plan for consolidation should address which areas of the agencies are duplicative and would benefit from resource sharing or consolidation. And so to fulfill that obligation to identify, the Finance Commission directed the McConnell to do an efficiency study or an efficiency audit, which was presented to y'all at the last meeting, if you remember. And then further on, the agencies were directed by the Finance Commission to prepare and develop an alternative response to do this improved resource sharing. And these responses were to be presented to y'all at this meeting. And then the decision to be made by the Finance Commission has to be done by the end of the year. And I think we decided that it would be done at the next, done at the next Finance Commission meeting. So, so each agency has submitted to the Finance Commission their separate thoughts on the audit. And then collectively, the three agencies have presented y'all recommendations that we've all three agencies agreed on. And I think maybe not to summarize, but I'll just say what I think. The audit did point out some areas that may be duplicative. In my opinion, it doesn't mean that's a bad thing. But the audit made some recommendations that in our case, the Texas Department of Banking, we didn't agree with and recommend, and put our thoughts and our response to you. Then, one of the biggest issues that I think that we disagreed with is that each agency has separate stakeholders, separate charges, and I felt, or our agency felt like that maybe trying to consolidate some administrative functions might be good. But to try to consolidate possibly managerial functions presents a problem that if we were public companies that were being consolidated, you might do one thing, but being three separate agencies with three separate charges presents a little bit of a problem. So anyway, the three agencies came together, presented a recommendation to basically try to do that. And they're listed by number in case we want to go through them a little bit later. But Caroline?
Sure. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to comment on the efficiency study recommendations. You've seen the combined memo and SML's individual response, and I think together they evidence that SML is interested in and open to further sharing with the other two agencies, and also collaborating on areas and projects in which efficiencies can be found, if it's practical and without loss of expertise. And we do see opportunities for change out of which can come growth and improvements for all of us. There are three general comments I want to briefly make. First, on the shared service center design. The three agencies already have a mechanism in place that we use to govern shared resources, such as we share building maintenance and security. That mechanism is interagency agreements containing expectations and performance standards. And those agreements result from collaboration and discussion about what the terms should be so that we all agree on them, and that becomes our governance process. We could use that governance process for other resources as well. Next is cost savings. Until we collaborate and determine who's doing what and when, it's very difficult to say what the ultimate cost savings would be, if any. And having said that, cost savings and more efficient cost savings alone is not the only indicator of efficiency. SML's goal is to deliver good and more efficient services to our stakeholders in furtherance of our mission and to comply with state requirements. So if processes are improved through sharing resources but cost goes up, then that may result in enough efficiency to warrant the cost. If the cost goes up and the result is not an improved process or a more efficient process, then that does not meet the goal of shared resources becoming efficient for the agencies. Lastly, CAPS will significantly impact the processes of all three agencies. Before we even get to CAPS implementation, there's work that we can do, the three agencies can do together to determine what we can align on during CAPS and after CAPS. And what policies and procedures do we agree on as we implement CAPS? SML is the first agency in the comptroller scheduling. They scheduled SML first, so we would be willing to help coordinate such discussions as the three of us go through the before CAPS, the CAPS implementation, and after. SML sees this audit, efficiency audit, and sharing of resources not as a one-time, one-shot efficiency project, but as a continuing effort by the three agencies, and we stand ready to make a positive contribution as we work with the other two agencies on whatever you all decide we ought to do. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And thank you, the Commission, for the opportunity to comment as well. We provided you with our separate response to the efficiency audit report, which you should have received. In summary, excuse me, the internal auditors made about 20 recommendations, I believe, in their report, and we either agreed, I mean, we found some merit in a number of those recommendations. We agreed or had no objection to 14 of the 20, so our concerns really revolved around six. And I think you've heard sort of the background and some of the similar comments. We had some concerns about sort of the management structure and how does that work. We have some concerns about the cost savings, and in fact, using some of even the data in the audit report, in some of that analysis, it will cost the OCCC more to move to some of those, that type of environment than we currently spend, even with the savings that would be produced by some shared operation. So in order to get at efficiencies, I agree that it's important to look at cost, but it's also important to look at the service itself, and we've got to make sure that both of those are covered when we're looking at why we need to move forward with some of these proposals. I do think that there is merit in a number of places, and we do agree and participated in the combined response. I think there's opportunity for us to do some things that I would find a bit more in the sharing of information, and that help us to collaborate, and in the spirit of more consistency among the three agencies in a number of areas, and that's proposed for you in the agency responses. In some of these areas where we have more challenges, I think, to try to arrive at some structure that looks to be a more shared service model, I think there maybe are other opportunities that we can look at to share information and become more consistent, and that will ultimately, again, drive some efficiencies, even if it's not, you know, the same proposal. And then lastly, I just wanted to comment on, want to be sure that as we look at, if we are continuing to look further down the line at more shared services, we need to look at opportunities if outsourcing and some of those types of decisions need to be considered in the context of a whole shared services decision. We need to look at that as well, whether or not we are proposing or evaluating what an outsourcing of a similar service might be as well, because I don't think that was considered in the audit, in the study, and I think that's something that would also have to be reviewed. But with that, certainly agree with what we've put forward in the combined agency responses, and we're happy to look for opportunities for growth in that and opportunities to become more efficient. That's certainly what we're all here for, to be efficient and to be deliver quality services, and that's really our ultimate goal.
Members, you've received the presentations from McConnell and Jones, and we had a nice discussion, I thought, last time to advance the process, and now you've gotten the written reports from the commissioners, and I think they've done a pretty thorough job, but I would invite questions that you may have of the commissioners on what they've submitted to us. Are there questions? In that case, I have a couple. I'm gonna start with Commissioner Pettijohn, only because last I checked, she might be an accountant. One of the problems I've always had with longitudinal prediction of savings is the de minimis amount of accounting I had in college didn't capture expenses not expended. So I'm not quite sure how we actually get our arms around what savings actually occur when we engage in this. Do you have any thought process about how to do that?
Well, I mean, there's the thought process of what the internal auditors did in their proposal, and they just talked about savings resulting from reduced headcount, and that they envisioned that particular savings could be achieved by reducing headcount. And as you've heard, from at least for me, and I presume the other two agencies raised this, I don't know. The proposal, as I understand it, would not be as comprehensive, and it still leaves us, it is the problem about how do you count what is supposed to be savings, and if you're supposed to continue to fulfill functions and have services you continue to need resources for, those don't really, that were otherwise taken away in the longitudinal proposal to be savings, you haven't created the savings. It is very difficult. I mean, it is nothing but a proposal, and yeah, execution has to follow that. And so you would have to monitor that going forward to determine whether or not those really do materialize.
Yeah. And so what happens is, I mean, you know, I guess I have been through this in the merger experience where routinely every merger I've been involved in, I think it's five or six, over 35 years, where the justification has always been merger savings. And Molly, you might want to chime in on this too, but the consequence of merger savings is things happen over time. The mission of the enterprise changes because every buy-in we get new responsibilities and we get responsibilities removed. So ticking and tying expense savings to something when another set of expenses arise because of additional missions we undertake makes that sort of did you achieve what you said you were going to achieve really difficult to accomplish, setting aside the issue of whether it's good or not. So I just have a little trouble when we go down this path to understand, you know, for the things we do, to understand how we're going to make sure that we accomplish anything that we say we're going to. Just not sure it requires any more comment, but it's a concern I have. Second question is, so at the next open meeting, when we will make final decisions, what does the process look like? Will we have a decision tree for each of these, and we will vote up and down, or will we do it in a more global fashion? What is the thought process for what we do next?
General question.
Your general question.
I would say that it would be my thought that that process could be discussed at this meeting and developed. Right now, the three agencies have a combined, if you will, recommendations that are listed. That could be an up and down if we resorted to that, and that could be one option. Depending on where y'all go from discussions today, that could evolve into something a little bit different. So,
members, do you have a preference about how we proceed next open meeting on finalizing these decisions? If not, my plan is to take up and vote at the next open meeting on the proposal on the agenda items that are listed in the four agency documents that we have, and it'll probably be an up and down vote on the whole thing in one vote, unless there's a particular issues that you want to raise between now and the next open meeting. Probably you need to get that to our executive director maybe 3 weeks out in order to make sure we can do the agenda items. And so that'll give you a chance to do a further investigation. And we will vote at that time. I think this process, it's important that we do process. And we've done this process where we've had consultants and then we've had responses. And I think we've pretty much filtered out what the issues are. And so I feel comfortable voting next time. But obviously I want to make sure that the rest of the Finance Commission members are on the same page.
So Paul, can I ask you,
sure.
if you do like a complete vote up or down, mm-hmm. that would mean either accept their recommendations in total or don't accept their recommendations in total? I mean, I'm having a hard time envisioning.
Sure. Well, it will be in the form of some derivation of the documents that you have from the three agency heads today, and we will vote on those in a way that that we make sure it's full enough that it completely covers all the issues. Another way to do it is to vote on the McConnell and Jones report. But my sense of the room last time was that there wasn't a great enthusiasm for that, for the substance of that report from the body. And so my thought is we work off of the reports that we get from the, from, we've gotten from the three agency heads, but I'm open to other ideas. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, I'm just trying to envision how you would do that, though. If you didn't go, you know, kind of step by step through all of the recommendations and mm-hmm. like go yay or nay depending upon.
Okay, I'm happy to.
Depending on the agency input for each item.
I'm happy to do that as well.
Which might make more sense to make sure everything gets covered that was brought up initially.
You know, I guess my thought is I came here with that idea and with this other idea, depending on what the discussion was today.
Sure.
And had there been a significant discussion about particular items, then I would have adopted that approach. Mm-hmm. But having not heard any, and trying to move the ball along, I was going to do it globally. But I'm perfectly willing to do it the other way. If you think that better illuminates what our decision-making process is.
Yeah, Chairman, I'd kind of thought it would look more like along the, you know, we have the response from the combined agencies response, but although it still doesn't have a clear course of action as to what that's going to take, I'd kind of thought we, definitely the audit has made us take a step back and look at efficiencies. I think it's done its job in a great one, but I like the idea of the agencies coming together on a, and each fully agreeing with how to proceed and the efficiencies that they're going to be able to take down in a response and maybe improving that course of action. But not opposed to going through it line by line as well. But
okay, say that again. I'm not sure I completely captured the thought.
A course of action, a response from the three agencies. Unify, the three sit down and come up with what they can bring out of this. If it is, we have the response from each and what they believe that they can put into action and what they believe would not work. And it would look more like a plan, maybe even a timeline.
I think he's saying formalize the group response into an action plan.
Yeah, because there's still
some. I think that's what he's saying.
It is, yeah. In the unified response here, there's still some questions as far as that. There's not a full agreement. But you know, we can go line by line as well. But that's kind of what I thought it would look like when we do finally vote on.
I would like to keep us involved, have the three agency heads come together, keep us involved in that conversation while y'all are agreeing to what should be done. And then I would be in favor of voting globally as well, just because just as long as we're kept in that conversation, as you all are comprising, getting a plan together about what we should consolidate, what we should bring together, then as long as we're kept in that conversation, as that discussion is taking place, you know, we're sort of kept in the loop, you know, while y'all are discussing that via email or whatever, and then vote on that plan globally. So we'll all have some input as the process is going through.
Okay, thank
you. And then vote on the global plan.
Well, and that could include a line by line, and some of the lines may just say, we're not going to do that, we're not going to do that, we're not going to do that. But at least it identifies them all and then says which ones we can do.
I had assumed that the global response would have fairly granular answers to the questions. And obviously, if on reflection, there's a particular item in that global response that you, on reflection, decided you wanted to change, we could obviously, you know, set that aside and vote on that individually. I'm perfectly willing to do that. But it seems to me that to spend a substantial amount of time voting item by item when there doesn't seem to be a lot of disagreement doesn't seem like a good use of this agency's time to me, but I'm willing to do it if somebody has another approach. So, Executive Director, do you think you have an understanding of what what we want?
No, no.
Okay. Ask questions.
Lori said something that I think is important. It was possibly one of the things that the commission should do, and I think this is kind of the elephant in the room, is from the audit and then maybe from some of the other things, it could be said that we should combine everything. And I'm talking about everything. For instance, the shared service center is an example where it combines a lot of things and puts it in a committee, and therefore the committee makes a decision as opposed to the individual commissioners. And in our combined response, we basically taken the position that we think that the managerial responsibilities ought to be retained by the commissioners in each agency, and administrative functions, routine administrative functions, should be the areas that we look at trying to save money in. And I feel like that y'all either need to agree or disagree with that premise, because I think that is a major premise in the decision making. If you say that's good, then we can go along with enumerating what those are. If you say no, you need to combine everything, then we have to go down a completely different road. But I think probably the Sunset staff for sure are going to be interested in the Finance Commission's view of that.
Yeah, and I don't hear any objection from this commission to the idea that it is those administrative functions that we would be interested in doing as enumerated in your respective papers. And so we're not making a decision at that point, but I would suggest that the way you should lay it out for our decision would be along those lines.
Agree with that.
Okay.
So I do have a few questions, I think.
Good.
So Charles or any of our commissioners, y'all are in agreement that there should not be a shared service center. Is that a correct statement?
And I will say to answer that, not in the way it's defined in the audit, but generally speaking, you're right. We would not agree with that.
So just like we may, for example, I think y'all share the receptionist.
Right.
So what you're saying is, yeah, there's other things we could share, like a personnel or a function or something of that nature, but nothing that would be making decisions for the individual agencies. Is that a bad way of saying it?
No, I think that's correct.
Okay.
And also those can be instances where our interagency agreements step in, and we operate under written agreements that we've negotiated between the three of us in terms of terms, et cetera, and defined who's performing the function and who's the receiving agency, without having to actually say, now this is a big shared service center.
As a concrete example, would the building qualify? Is that sort of?
Yes, sir.
So that's one way to think about it is, you know, we have a building, mm-hmm. and I guess the Department of Banking owns it. But
for the use of the Finance Commission.
We all have equity.
We all have.
So there is an entity. There is a legal entity that's separate of the three agencies. That is the Finance Commission. Is that correct?
Say again. I'm sorry.
Okay, you said the Finance Commission owns the building.
It has the use of the building. Yes.
Okay. But yet the Department of Banking doesn't own it. OCCC doesn't own it, etc.
Shared equity.
It's all three.
Catherine, you want to?
I'm just trying to figure out if there's a fourth entity or not.
No.
Okay.
No.
We are the fourth entity, just as a group. That's it.
Right.
Okay.
And so, for instance, on the building, using that as an example, you know, the audit plus the Sunset report talks about a lot of things we do share, and what we're talking about is just expanding those items. But I think the building is a great. We have a Department of Banking has staff that do the maintenance and some other things, and run the building, keep the lights on, pay the light bills, and we share, we take care of that and the other agencies pay us for doing that. But we have a shared arrangement. Each agency has an arrangement to do that. And if Caroline doesn't like the way it's being done, then she works through that agreement to change it. So that's what we're talking about, is doing more of those type of items.
In essence, it's a contractual arrangement.
Correct.
Rather than a structural arrangement.
Correct.
Yes.
All right, and is that list of things y'all are currently sharing an extensive list? Is it a half dozen items? Is it something I could be given, or is that
It's in the report. We can specifically provide it to you.
Okay. But
it's in the McConnell-Jones report.
It's in the McConnell-Jones report. Right.
How many shared service contracts are there currently? Just a curiosity. Just two?
Two.
Oh, okay.
One of them covers a lot of items.
If somebody has an answer, could they perhaps come to the... This is an open meeting.
So perhaps you could expand on those on additional shared services and not have a lot of different contracts.
Why don't you go?
Currently, Antonio Antoff, Savings and Mortgage Lending. Currently, there's two interagency agreements, and there's only two because in one of them, Department of Banking is the performing agency, and in the second one, SML is the performing agency. The one where SML is performing agency is the shared receptionist, because the shared receptionist is our employee, and the second one covers a lot of items. The building maintenance, sharing of expenses for the finance commission, I can't think of all of it, but a lot of items under one interagency agreement. And it's only one because banking is the performing agency.
And if I could take that a step further, so it's an interagency agreement, so it's contractual,
mm-hmm.
isn't structural, so should anybody have a desire to change it or modify it, it's a very straightforward, easy thing to do, make tweaks and adjustments.
Yeah, we update it periodically, and everybody reviews it and has input, and it just like any contract, defines terms, prices, percentages, everything that's necessary for this to function.
But it abdicates no managerial responsibility of any agency because it's three agency agreement.
If there's if there's anything like that, it's spelled out.
Okay.
And so under that current agreement, if one of the commissioners, if there was something that felt needed to be changed, like maybe one agency grew by 20% more people, but another agency declined by 20%, and so the use of the building may have changed, then it's just the three commissioners coming to an agreement? And so two out of the three agreeing on it?
There is a review process where staff reviews it, the relevant staff, the general counsels, multiple staff looks at the contract. The expenses for the building, for example, they're split based on the square footage that's used for each agency. So if one of the agencies grew and suddenly is using more square footage, you know, that those percentages change for the cost. So every item that's in there is described, how it's split, what basis it's using. So if there's any changes throughout the period that caused the contract to change, these changes are made at the renewal time.
Sammy, you want to jump?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sammy Chadley, Department of Banking. As Antonio was saying, the way we break out our performing agency and receiving agency expenses, there's some stuff that's based on square footage, the building square footage, so anything that has to do with maintenance of the building, that's some stuff that the DOB staff does is based on square footage of the building. There's some other stuff some other expenses that are based on the budgets of each agency. And there are some other categories that are basically split third and a third and a third. Mm-hmm. One of them is the building. If we were to move to another place, architects' costs, architectural engineering costs, real estate costs, stuff like that. So those are the three different types of splits depending on the type of expense. some of the shared services we have, as Antonio was saying, I was going to expand on that one a little bit. You know, all three agencies share our imaging system. So basically all the documents are imaged, and we share those expenses for the software, right? The software, it's a yearly expense. The other thing is, as I mentioned, anything related to the building as far as selling it, buying it. I'm trying to think. And then obviously the
multiple
items, so just all that other stuff.
But in any case, if something changes throughout the fiscal year that causes these to fall out of sync, then we all just talk, and this can be easily updated because it takes the signatures of the three commissioners. But multiple staff is involved, obviously, in looking at the contract and giving input or, you know, chiming in on items.
And the contract's renewed at the beginning of each biennium.
Each biennium, so every 2 years. But if something happens in between, it can also be changed.
And to repeat myself, there's only one person that is shared, and that's the receptionist.
Well, on our end, yes, but on the second contract, we pay a portion of the building maintenance staff, the banking.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so there's multiple people.
They're employed by the Department of Banking, so the other two are contributing to that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
With the exception of the receptionist, as
yes.
that's your employee.
Yes, yes, but it's not
it's
just that
contract.
One. There's there's multiple people that we share one way or the other.
In going forward on the recommendations y'all agreed upon, or in y'all's joint thing, is there more sharing of personnel?
There certainly is on purchasing and contracting functions.
Okay.
That's one that's
mm-hmm.
most definite. I think there's some proposals for some shared service options that would entail that. Charles, you may want to speak more to that.
Well, it's in there. For instance, one of the things we've said the Department of Banking would do would be to, on the HR side, would be to do new employee orientation.
Yeah.
Because the state, it's basic stuff that you have to go through. We can do that for our employees. It's going to be the same for Caroline's employees, and we can do things like that. That's a shared service that we can do, and it probably won't cost any more money to do that. We don't do it right now, but we put it in there as an option. I think one of the things that somewhat complicates whether another agency accepts that or not would be, for instance, this CAPS thing that Caroline was talking about. They're going in 2020. We're not supposedly going in until 2022. And whether it makes sense to make a change now or wait to see kind of how this breaks out, that's going to be a judgment call that we need to work together.
Yep.
But I think one of the things that I've learned, I guess, in going through this exercise is that, number one, I think we share a lot of things and we've worked out a lot of things over the years that show that we worked pretty well together. And then I think that we can do it again. We can continue to do it.
Yeah, and I think as a commission, what we got to look at is we know these three people work well together, but mm-hmm. at some point there's going to be a change of personnel, and it's going to be different personnels, et cetera. So does that format still work? And I'm just saying it's one of the challenges of business. You run a business a certain
sure.
way based on the people you got, but if that person changes, then you got to rethink: is it still going to work the same way or not? And so,
well, I think I understand exactly what you're saying. Two comments: one is it's not just the three commissioners; it's everybody.
Yeah.
As Sammy mentioned earlier, this is a team effort. And then number two, it is contractual. And so if something happens and somebody doesn't like it, for instance, if somebody does something that's kind of crazy, the other agencies have an opportunity to respond to that.
Mm-hmm.
So if the intent of the Finance Commission is for the agencies to share things and one agency decides not to do it or participate, then I would think they need to have a reason for not doing that, and it needs to be explained.
Mm-hmm.
So a different commissioner might take a different viewpoint, but he or she's got to address it appropriately.
And I would even maybe add a fourth to that and take it back going historically from a historical precedent. So there have been many commissioners that have sat in this position, and the interagency agreements have been in place for quite a long period of time, functioning very successfully with other commissioners in these seats while some of us have been here. So
So in the audit, the most significant thing was the shared service center. Would everybody agree on that? And Mr. Chairman, what I'd recommend is that maybe you split that out and you just have an up or down vote on that issue. And then if, depending on the answer to that, it would depend on the next steps, it seems like. Because that is...
Let me just throw a what if. Let's forecast out. You know, we just went through Sunset, which is a 12-year reset, so to speak. Looking forward, does this agency still look like this? If we're going to look at a new building and we're going to consolidate, is there a new formula that might be even more effective? So those are the things I want to consider too.
Yeah, I believe a new building has the opportunity to change a lot of things. I just never know where we are in the new building.
But we have to try to look forward to that forecast and see what we can do to best serve the citizens of Texas.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not certain that the new building will make any material change. I think
it creates opportunity.
The three agencies are working in lockstep, so there's an agreement in place.
You know, I'm often accused of trying to solve world peace, I would encourage us not to do that now, as significant change items show up. You know, if we go to a new building, then obviously there would be things that would become obvious to the agency that might need addressing. And so at that time, we should do it. Stacy, remind me how long we've been working on getting a new building?
I don't know. It feels like a lifetime.
Don't say it out loud.
And unfortunately, as we've looked, price per square foot of Austin real estate has not leveled out. So, you know, the ability to find a new, I hope it happens, but the ability, it continues to be difficult. So that's a contingency that's out there, and my suggestion is we move forward today with the facts as we see them on the ground. And, you know, every 2 years we're going to get more or less responsibility over a variety of industries, and each biennium we will perhaps observe changes too. So this is, somebody said this is an ongoing process, and I think that we have to do that. So I would encourage us to look at the facts as we have them today, the recommendations that we have from McConnell and Jones, the responses to those recommendations from the commissioners. What I have heard today is there's a consensus, might be the wrong word, but I'm reading the room, I think that's what I see, which is why I suggested that we do a more or less global vote with some granularity in the details of that global vote, with their understanding that any commissioner, just like we do, any commissioner can call something out and make an amendment to the proposal at that time, and I would encourage that, and we'll vote on it. Takes six votes on any issue. If you can get six votes, go for it.
Could we also, you know, after having passed what our direction is going to be, put it on the agenda again for a year from now to get a report process, and also to if there is a new building in play, re-review possible other efficiencies annually.
To take that a step further, Will, you know, most of the combined comments deal with establishing a working group, you know, to come up with some best practices and maybe come up with some ideas that the commissioners collectively come up with. I would almost suggest, instead of waiting a year, have that as an agenda item every meeting to see, you know, because I think if you don't, then you'll lose any traction that you might get on it, right? So,
let me push back a little bit.
Okay.
And I'm not pushing back on more than annually, but I'm wondering if every meeting is a necessity. I mean, you know, there are a lot of work to be done, especially early on in the, after the legislative session, and so.
Or just an update on AR, I mean.
Periodically or something more than.
Or like, if they're gonna have a working group, are they gonna keep minutes of it? Can we see minutes of it? You know,
Well, maybe we can ask commissioners what they were thinking in terms of how a working group would function and meet and work forward.
I like the accountability aspect of actually seeing progress or what's actually going on.
Charles, you give an executive, a finance commission report. Could we have an item in there to update us as a proposal?
Sure, I'm kind of with you as to how often that could be done.
Well, make a recommendation to us next time.
Okay, we can do that.
But, you know, and if it's every meeting, if it's every other meeting, if it's once a year, make a recommendation and we'll vote on it and we'll decide whether that's right or not.
So if I, well, I don't want to, you know, one of the things that we've, or at least I felt like, and I'm in a lot of committees and a lot of working groups and a lot of things, and one of the things I find out is we're spending more time sometimes putting minutes together than we are working on to put the issue is. So, to me, a working group is different than a committee because sometimes you have to formalize things. But I think the thing that I'd like to say is that we do show that we've worked together before. We will enumerate what we work together on now, the specific topic, the specific area, and then report back to you. If you want to say we do minutes on every one of them, well, you know, so be it. But I'd hate to get in that minor those details. But I'd be glad to do it if that's what everybody wants to do. I'd like to see us just work and get it done and report back that this was accomplished or we're having a problem here or whatever it is.
And I'd be perfectly okay with that. I mean, in my mind, as long as
why don't you make a recommendation and we'll, you know, we'll get the vote on it next time.
Okay. And just for what it's worth, yeah, I think minutes are great idea, but on the flip side, bullet points in the summary of what was discussed on like say a working group, that is a defined difference than an actual committee.
I just want to make sure that we do, you know, that the working group is established and that there's meetings that happen, because we all know that you get busy and certain things fall off.
Well, and
you don't have to have minutes. I mean, I agree, but I would just like to make sure that there are at least meetings that are, the working group does meet between meetings and things start moving forward. I mean, like, there's some recommendations here that, you know, the purchasing and contracting functions, you know, the report said they didn't have to consolidate, but the agencies think that it could be shared. All right, so let's move forward on what those recommendations might be and a time frame for getting it done. Maybe just little bite sizes that things show moving forward is all I'm suggesting.
I'm trying to get my head around, what would that look like? Would it look like an annual plan with a periodic update?
That's fine, but they're going to have to meet in order to come up with a plan, because I don't think they really have a plan,
mm-hmm.
right? And because we haven't voted on it yet, so they really, you know, the commissioners could come up with a plan, but I just don't want to lose, if there's ideas that they have that were sparked because of maybe we did this audit, made you start thinking, let's not lose the momentum in it, is all I'm suggesting.
And not to belabor the point, but as a point that I believe Leslie brought up, which is like on IT. So each agency has kind of gone their separate ways on IT and haven't collaborated. It's time to collaborate now as we move forward. But that is a that is dealing with events and things that are happening basically as we speak. It's not like trying to accomplish something. It's continuing to share information about IT concerns. And so I'm thinking that we would say, using that as an example, that we would establish a working group that would meet and work on things, and we can enumerate what these things will be. But they're more of a collaboration issue as opposed to trying to resolve a specific task.
Right.
But some of it might be to resolve a specific task.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, Paul, going back to you, maybe we can enumerate the difference between those.
Mm-hmm.
And we can list that, and you can agree or disagree that that's how we'll do it. But there will always be, at some point, a report out.
Mm-hmm.
We can say whatever it would be. We can even put that in the recommendation when we would report out.
I like twice a year. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be every meeting or something, or biannually. Or.
Well, and once again, I mean, that's, you know, my view is they'll give us something.
Mm-hmm.
And then at the next open meeting, if they give us once a year, then the chair would entertain a motion from Will to make it twice a year, or four times a year, or something, and we'll, you know, we'll vote. So you'll have a stalking horse out there to make whatever changes that you want, and it'll be, the vote will be global, but, you know, I'll accept a series of amendments if there's anything that you find objection, if that makes sense. And I would encourage amendments if there's anything. Once you have granular clarity about what we're voting on, you know, we can make whatever, entertain any amendments that you want. Does that, Vince, does that help you in your thought process?
Yes, sir.
Anything else, members?
So to go back to what Charles said,
sure.
Your belief is, and it sounds like it is, that shared services agreements would be the structure going forward for anything that the agencies determine that they can share efficiently.
Interagency agreement.
Interagency,
yes.
Interagency.
Yeah,
you're welcome. Yeah. Sorry, I used the wrong term. I combined them.
Which is, yes, that'd be a continuation of what of how we do it now. But the thing that, and Vince maybe said it, I think that still the Finance Commission has got to take a position that this is what we want, this is what y'all want us to do, as opposed to combining everything.
Unless I badly misread it, you did not, the three agency heads did not recommend combining everything.
No.
Right.
And, but, I'm pretty sure I read it that way.
But
sure
I feel that y'all have to take a position on that too.
And I'm assuming further that you're going to submit to us something to vote on.
That would say that?
That would say that.
Okay.
Would say that.
And
yeah.
We are going to vote on that.
I took care of that. Okay. We can do that.
Okay.
I mean, so if we take this letter, the combined letter, I mean, that's really what you would be voting on at next meeting, right?
It might be more detailed than that.
Yeah,
but
that
that's,
kind of
that's
framework.
The format. Yes,
yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I can see it. That makes sense to just do.
But, and once again, if you see something in there that you don't like,
yeah, then say something.
I would, you know, I don't see any shyness around this table, so
yeah.
We good ideas come from a lot of places. So if you see something you don't like, put it out there and we'll vote on it. But that's just sort of the process I'm looking at. Because I don't want to spend, you know, if there's consensus, I don't want to spend,
right.
I don't want to do an hour's worth of voting.
Yeah, I was misunderstanding. I thought we were going to vote on the final report, but no, we're voting on the combined letter. letter.
Well, what, yeah.
And the suggestions or the responses in the combined letters, how they would have.
Yeah, but yeah. Obviously, if there's anything in the McConnell and Jones report that's has not been accepted by the agency heads in this agenda item that we're going to vote on, and you think it's important, then, you know, and if you want to, I'm sure you could talk to the staff of the commission could help with the drafting of whatever amendment you wanted to if you thought that was necessary, although most people around this table should be able to draft an amendment without much of an issue. So that's... We're going to apply the parliamentary process to this effort.
So just yes, as the new person, the only thing that precludes a vote today is the reporting and all that has to go out. Is that correct?
Well, we could vote on it today, but I committed to when Vince and I had a conversation last time, I said to make sure we had enough time to think about it.
Right.
The idea was, the process I laid out was we received the McConnell and Jones report last time, we got the agency heads report this time, we get to give them feedback, next time we vote.
Right.
So that's the process I laid out, and with your permission, I'd like to stick to sure. that.
We also have, that's in October, the decision has to be made by 2020, so we do have another meeting in case the October meeting didn't fulfill everything we needed to do. We could carried over into
Schengen. And that was dictated by the Sunset Committee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's who's dictating all of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
They dictate to have an efficiency study, right?
A non-statutory management recommendation.
It's just fulfilling a recommendation by the Sunset Committee.
And so will they end up reviewing our position?
I expect they will.
Mm-hmm. They have to submit the plan of implementation by January 1st.
And they could reject it.
Well, not necessarily. They'll just review it as part of their follow-up. How well did the Finance Commission and the agencies respond to that recommendation?
And that's, you know, my thought around that is that's okay because, you know, we're here to be the oversight agency for these three commissions. And I think, you know, we're demonstrating that we've put forth a lot of effort to come up with what the ideas are and to evaluate them and to vote on them. So I don't think anybody could suggest that we haven't been thoughtful about this. They may not like the decisions we made, but I think we ought to be prepared to defend those decisions because I think every decision we make will be ones that has a basis for it.
Let me ask still on this subject, but just changing subjects within there. How many attorneys on staff does each commission have?
There were fingers up.
Seven for the Department of Banking. Thank you, Catherine.
Three for SML.
Three for OCCC.
Is there any sharing in that area?
They work on
they
joint rules.
They
yeah.
talk to each other.
They
yeah.
work on joint rules, like if they're home equity rules, those are joint between the agencies, the Finance Commission, the Credit Union Commission. They work on those rules together.
That's
there's some other joint
attorneys.
Rules.
A lot of attorneys. A lot of attorneys.
It's legal work.
They could probably use another 13 if the truth was known.
Yeah,
yeah, I was just
going
to say,
it's
a lot of work.
That would be the
hardest one, I would think.
Well, you know the whole thing about the right headcount for staffing. I mean, that's sort of hard to get your head around to say that's too many or that's not enough. I bet you'd be able to demonstrate that everybody's working pretty hard.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. But it just seemed, you know, it just struck me as an area that there's overlap, but maybe there's not.
Very, very little overlap. But as Caroline mentions, if the things that we do work on jointly with Matt Mead. We're talking now about a marijuana release that we would all, our two agencies would work on, what our financial institutions could do in that business arena today. safely, things like that. So we would, those things are worked on, but as far as specific issues dealing with our regulated entities, those are very specific to our situation and would not be shared.
Okay. Thank you.
I guess the only difference I would like to see in the combined letter is something more specific. You know, when you're coming back, if we're going to vote on it, like you say, mm-hmm. you know, the working group, you know.
Dates? I was thinking dates.
Something that you can...
A more accountability, if you've got dates in here, we're going to do it by 2023, whatever it is. I'm thinking...
You know, like establish the working group by such mm-hmm. and such a date, you know, that we'll meet quarterly or whatever, or, you know, the positions of the people that would be in, like you have one for IT, so I would imagine that the IT heads would be the ones that would be on that working group. Something that's just a little bit more where we can have an accountability for a timeline. So, for instance, if one of the things is they'll develop an implementation plan and timeliness for the recommendation, you know, what's the timeline for getting that done? When would it come back up to the Finance Commission kind of thing?
Or maybe to help on that. Maybe it's got, you know, an order of priority of issues that it
yeah.
deals with based on, like, for example, if you take the shared agency response and you go to purchasing and contracting, not to say that anything's easy, but that one seems to be the most easily approachable one to start with. Maybe, you know, that's the first task for the working group.
Because that's already shared at some level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think we can get a okay. what you need.
Anything else on this matter, members? We have a witness card. Mr. Scurlock, would you approach the witness table and state your name for the record?
I will. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Steve Scurlock with Independent Bankers Association of Texas. I'm trying to determine if there's anything I could possibly add after that robust discussion. So I'll try to be brief on this, and we obviously are talking about the efficiency audit. I am hopeful that each of you has had an opportunity to read our August 9th letter, which I will hit a few of the high points. I think first to let you know that we do have a significant vested interest in the operations of these agencies. The regulatory function alone, the bank examination function, if you will, for savings banks and commercial banks makes up about two-thirds of the combined budget revenues for the Finance Commission. The banking department alone with all of their activities makes up about the same amount, two-thirds. And and their total for just bank regulation is almost 58% of the total revenues of the combined Finance Commission agencies. So we obviously care about this issue, and it impacts those of us in the banking world. We obviously, and I will go on record yet again to say that we support strong, effective, and fair regulation of our industry. Our members don't necessarily always welcome the regulatory process, but I think that the good actors appreciate it and understand what happens when the bad actors are too numerous to control. We have all seen the impact of ineffective regulation in the past. We have noted also in our letters on the budget, and I believe in the August 9th letter as well, that we do believe these agencies are operating in an efficient manner. And further, as each of you know, are not recipients in any form or fashion of general revenue money. We pay the freight as the industries that are regulated by them. Under the SDSI framework, there's a unique blend of private sector discipline with public sector oversight and accountability. We are extremely pleased with the way that process is going and believe that the Finance Commission is overseeing three agencies who are doing a great job doing that. It's been mentioned today that the agencies are significantly different in scope, responsibilities, and culture. They are unique entities. The Texas legislature had plenty of opportunities over about 140 days every odd number year to be able to combine these agencies, and certainly after the sunset process, they had the opportunity to do so, and they opted not to do so. We think that blended management functions in these agencies is problematic. We would observe that there are significant number, as has already been talked about today, of administrative functions that are already combined. Those are on page 4 of the report, and if you guys are terribly bored, I'm happy to go read that, because I do have the report and the backup statute and the verbiage from the Sunset Commission just right under this almost completed testimony. We have serious concerns regarding the combination of management functions, as has already been discussed today, and do not like the idea at all of a shared services center or management by committee. The staff of these agencies spend a significant amount of time, energy, and resources on reporting, planning, meeting various state-mandated requirements, undergoing an amazing level of audits from a number of different entities, and all sorts of other time-consuming tasks that they need to do as a public entity, but it is certainly time-consuming and takes time away from their other tasks. We do fear that further requirements to consolidate a variety of additional functions will divert the attention away from their primary missions. And we're especially concerned that the high quality of the bank regulatory function will suffer were there to be a shared services center or additional management by committee. To us, the very modest projected costs are simply not justified for the potential downside. Obviously, efficiency is a goal in any organization, or it should be, or the organization is not going to be there long. And we do believe that the agencies should continue to explore opportunities for cooperation and consolidation of especially administrative functions. As indicated in our August 9th letter, this hopefully will not become a scorecard issue. If it makes sense to do it, do it. If it doesn't make sense, don't do it, just to be doing something. We also mentioned in our letter the idea that perhaps financial literacy is an area that could be combined, and is, I think, is something to take a look at. Obviously, financial literacy is important for our association, for our members, and certainly those that are served by all three agencies. The combined resources, credibility, and expertise of these agencies could play a significant role in moving this process forward, and we would be happy to offer any assistance we can. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your service. I would be happy to answer or attempt to answer any questions if there are any.
Questions for Mr. Skirline? Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is there anything else, members, on agenda item 2?
Mr. Chairman, yes. I've got a question. In as much as financial literacy is concerned,
yes.
Is that state mandated for each agency? And one, and two, do we track, and I think we do track, the number of financial literacy programs plus presentations that the banking industry, that the banks out there, that they actually perform, and how much overlap is there in that?
In terms of statutory mandate or authority, SML, the statutes are silent in terms of SML, so we have no mandate, nor do we have any authority per statute.
For the Department of Banking, it basically says, Hector, that we are supposed to coordinate this activity, and we have tried to participate with the trade groups and the banks in doing that. One of the things that we found a little bit, we're just a little pebble in the pond, because y'all are really doing the heavy lifting. The banks are, and the trades are. And for us to try to participate in that the best we can, I think we need to find a way to do that, but not replicate what y'all do, because we can't do that, and I don't think we should do it.
I can't. I would venture to say hundreds of thousands of hours that the banking industry has in that, so.
Well, you know, and to add to that, a factoid I've always been interested in is there are 32 financial literacy programs approved by the Texas Education Agency for school districts. And so there are you know, not just in the industry, but other places, there are substantial educational opportunities. There's not a one-stop shop to find all of those, but there are a lot of them out there.
And just a final comment, our statutory mandate is to promote, encourage, aid, and assist in the development and delivery of these types of programs. And so that's really what we would, I think, as state agencies looking at this particular program, so it's not appropriate for us to try to replace or substitute in that regard. We're trying to be here to, how do we facilitate and leverage what's already going on, and how can we help deliver more quality programs and get those programs, help leverage those resources across the state, not individually, but help others do that. And really that's how I see our role.
Anything else?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Scurlock mentioned their August 9th letter, which y'all have been provided a copy with, but I'd like to introduce it into the record. And we also have a letter from the Texas Bankers Association dated August 12th that addresses this topic that the members have received copies of, but I would also like to introduce it into the record.
Thank you. Please do that. Members, anything else on item two? We're not going to take a vote today. Okay, I want to move on to one other thing before we go to item three. Bob Borkoff has contacted me indicating that he will not be able to attend the meeting. He's stuck in Houston. He's requested that his absence be excused. I move to accept the request. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a second from Will. All the
from
Hector. I'm some from, you know.
I gladly seconded it, but he did take it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. The motion carries. Members, we will now take it is now 2:59. We will take a 10-minute break and reconvene to take up item three. Thank you. We're back in session. We're back in session at 3:12. It is now 3:12 p.m. on August the 15th. At this time, the commission will go into closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 551.071. No vote will be taken in executive session. So, 4:27 p.m. on August. It is 4:27 p.m. on August the 15th, 2019, and the commission is now back in session. No action was taken in closed session. Is there any other business, members? There being no further business, the meeting of the Finance Commission is now adjourned. The time is 4:27 and a half p.m.